Hello, everybody. Welcome. It is Tuesday. Happy March. Happy International Women's Day. It's International Women's Day tomorrow, but this is a month of everything related to women and supporting women as well. And we in Female Fusion, we have so many things coming up in the month of March, especially for our members. International Women's Day, we have a number of events and activities that we're taking part in, including we're having an absolutely beautiful event with Shabra and Sharjah Women Business Council tomorrow in Sharjah. So if that's something that you would like to join us on, feel free to DM us and we can give you more information. But today in Fusion Insights, I really love this topic. And those of you who know me know that I am quite passionate about this. And we're talking about finance. And we're going to talk about finance in a few different ways. But I am a strong, strong believer that if you have a business, if you are running a business, that you need to be super confident in the area of money and finance. And so I have an absolutely wonderful, wonderful guest today, and I'm going to bring her up and we're going to get into all about finance. Good afternoon, Kalyani. How are you?
Hello, Jen. Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So we are here. You are you're an entrepreneur and you have your own business, but we are here today to talk about money because you have this fantastic podcast that you do, and I would love to talk to you a bit more about that. And then we're going to go into detail and talk everything related to money. So first off, tell everybody a bit about you and a bit about Fintastic Females.
Perfect. So Fintastic Females is actually, I'm one half of Fintastic Females, for whoever doesn't know. The other half is Rupali, who couldn't make it today. And we are close friends outside of this business, and we both happen to be finance professionals. We just came together to share our insights and handhold other women in feeling more confident on the topics of finance and money. Often, unfortunately, finance is seen as this black box, you know, that people don't really want to get into. People don't want to learn about it if they don't have the background. But it's such an unavoidable part of each and all of our lives. So it has a direct impact on the quality of our lives, but we don't really want to know much about it. And the system benefits from us not knowing much about it as well. So the whole idea is to make it really easy and digestible because it's not so complex as it's made out to be, so that everyone can manage their own funds. And it's done in a way that feels like a community. In our other work streams, Rupali works as a research and quantitative analysis for a family office. And I have a different business as well that has an overlap with Fintastic Females called Trading Mum, where I teach people to get over their financial traumas and make money from the stock market.
Yeah, so, amazing.
Yeah, bringing two sides of things together.
That's so good because I think I see this a lot, and also as well for me personally. When I first started my business, I didn't look at the money. I didn't look at the financial side, and it was to my detriment because I didn't know exactly what was coming in and what was going out. And as a result of that, in the beginning, when I was an entrepreneur, I lost money. And when I realized that because of my lack of knowledge, or maybe even lack of willing to know, because I had a blog, and I think a lot of women, well, human beings, I think that we do this, that I failed maths when I was in high school. So I was told that I sucked at maths. And so I was kind of like, well, I failed maths, so I'm not even trying. And what I wish is in schools that they would teach kids, most kids don't need calculus, but most kids do need to know things like balancing a budget, profit, loss, you know, all of those sorts of things. I think that would help people so much in having and running a business as well. And that is something I think that you also talk about too in your podcast, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. And surprisingly, I wasn't very good at maths myself. I was also brought up in India, where the general standard, I'm told, is higher. So maybe I was competing amongst people who were generally more adept at maths, even though you can't make such stereotypes. But I was not very good at maths from a young age, from I think year 3 or something. And up until year 10, when we had a choice of leaving maths, I was actually really looking forward to leaving maths, which wasn't an option with where I wanted to be. I wanted to go into economics eventually. And that's what I ended up doing. So I did stick it out with maths, with mathematics. I did all of what you said, calculus, integration, differentiation, which I don't use at all in my life. I'm sure it's the same for a lot of us. And then I ended up doing economics, which was also really theoretical. It did have some key elements of finance. But I found myself feeling a bit of unfamiliarity when I started trading, when I started investing, when I started kind of almost entering the practical scene of finance and into the practicalities of either managing it as an entrepreneur or as an investor. And I believe that the school system, the education system, probably does this on purpose in terms of keeping us in the rat race of corporate jobs and the whole system that kind of benefits the banks and the big players. But keeping those controversy kind of topics aside, I think it's so key for people to just learn the basics. And I think what it's done as well is to make it into this whole overwhelming thing with a lot of jargon. The jargon terminology is only, I think it makes people sound smarter to themselves. And it's done to keep the entry barrier a little higher. Otherwise, the concepts are not that complex, which is kind of our mission to make it really easy, really digestible, and accessible.
Yeah, and I see that as well. I'm a parent. One of my kids is in university, and he's very, very gifted at maths. And then my daughter hates maths. And for her, it's like, oh, maths class. Oh, they're teaching me all of this stuff that I don't know what I'm going to do in life with it because it's not what I want to study. And I wish that even within the school systems today, that they would look at that and go, there's kids who are never going to be math geniuses, and that's okay. And actually, we're going to have like a whole sort of all the finance and the life skills that you need to have when it comes around money and finance, because that doesn't exist. And I feel that that's almost more powerful than, the calculus and the statistics. And if you're not going to go into that area, there should be the alternative, hey?
Absolutely. I think all of that, in essence, becomes almost a signaling effect of telling people that we're able to study this. If we're able to study this, if we're able to do well, then that means we're intelligent. But it doesn't actually come into practical use, which is what I meant to say, that even as an economic student, the financial knowledge that we were given, I've done a master's in economics, was pretty basic and pretty theoretical. So, number one, please don't feel like an outsider, because from my experience as well, I'm sharing that I started as pretty much a novice when I did start with accounting or investing. And number two, you don't need advanced mathematics, rocket science, physics level maths, whatever it is that's holding you back from getting this knowledge, learning this basic skill in life, I believe. So yeah, that's what we're here to do.
And when it comes to money, I know that one thing that both you and Rupali are big on talking about as well is kind of different passive revenue streams. What do
Yes.
you what do you mean by that?
So, I think a lot of this goes into kind of the pressure that some of us, maybe all of us, feel from our primary sources of revenue. sometimes, talking from my experience, when I left my job, and that was the salary that I used to depend on for my expenses, it was almost attached to my identity, self-identity. When I chose to move away for a more purpose-led journey of being an entrepreneur, I was always kind of looking at replacing that salary and putting that pressure on my business, which is not fair for a new business to compete with. And it's not the right mindset to bring into a new business as well. So I just found, and people might have different stories that go into the same emotion, you know, there might be single mothers, there might be mothers who want to do better for their kids, there might be fathers who want to take their family for an extra vacation or what have you. That extra little cash could just maybe prevent a burnout, maybe prevent a little, maybe lead to a little less stress and a little more confidence, a little more of a spring in your step. Maybe you're exchanging your time for money a little lesser and feeling that pressure a little less. And for me, that feeling of relief and freedom, even while I'm talking about it, is very relieving. It's very expansive. So that is the mindset aspect of it. And in terms of, if I go into more technicalities, then a couple of things that come up again and again in any literature that you read for creating passive income is normally investing in real estate or stock markets. Real estate or businesses. And stock market is one way of investing in businesses that are doing well, that are listed on these big markets, etc. So that's the route we're kind of adopting, we're sharing our insights on.
And what about as an entrepreneur, so you mentioned real estate and businesses, but are there other things that entrepreneurs can do as well to create more passive income for their business? Because it's quite nice if you have regular monthly recurring income that just kind of regularly flows in.
Yeah, some options that I think most of us are aware of are fixed deposits. Let's start with that. That's probably the safest and most common form of investment. But the returns that you get on these fixed deposits from banks are so low that there is no competition with the rate of inflation. So actually, you end up losing value on your money when you're in investments that are ultra safe. You think they're ultra safe. But actually, I would also like to point out that in any of these investments, when you're giving your money to an institution such as a bank, they are actually pooling all your money and putting that money into the same market that you're trying to avoid putting your money into. They're doing it on your behalf. They're earning big double figure rates of return, and they're giving you a measly 1 or 2% return that you're supposed to be happy with. So in that sense, I don't think that's a smart decision. Some other forms of investments that come to mind are gold, for example, which is not very liquid. It's not very easy to change into cash. Real estate has a big barrier to entry. It needs a big amount for you to kind of go into. And again, it might not make you money over a long period of time, especially in a place like Dubai, where the supply is constantly increasing, we find. And so coming back to investing in businesses, a lot of people listening today would be entrepreneurs. So they have invested in their own businesses already, which means that they are risk takers, they are taking initiative, and they have that confidence in themselves. But from our own business, as we know, it takes time to get that return. And it's not the right amount of pressure to put on a new business to expect that return straight away. So one other way of investing in businesses, since we are of this mindset, is to invest in bigger businesses that are doing all the hard work. They have gone through rigorous regulation, checks, due diligence to be on these markets. And they want our money so that we can then benefit from their good work, I suppose. And yeah. There are many ways of being a part of this kind of investment, and real estate is one part of this as well. So you can invest in real estate through stock markets. You can invest in gold through stock markets. You can invest in government bonds, which are safer through the stock market as well. So it all kind of comes together nicely.
So if there are entrepreneurs that want to think about investing in the stock market, I know that a lot of people are interested, but kind of don't know how to get started. How would you suggest, if somebody is kind of interested and wants to dip their toe in, how would they do that?
Yes. So this is exactly where we come into the picture. And I'm going to share a couple of things that we've got to offer, if that appeals to anyone. So with Fintastic Females, we share a lot of basic information on the topic of finance, which is a wider topic. It also is going into kind of areas of cryptocurrency recently, finance and money chats in a relationship. We've got episodes coming up on debt, on mortgages, student loans, kind of just going into the broader periphery of finance, especially personal finance. Whereas, so that would be a great place to start, to kind of start building a more 360 level of knowledge. And in my business with Trading Mum, since we've been talking more about stock markets and creating that passive income, I've got a couple of courses. One of them is called Investing Starter, which takes you from zero knowledge of finance to being able to manage a portfolio. It's a very accessible course. It's pre-recorded and it's at $159. And I've got something that's actually starting today, which is the Passive Income Masterclass, where I take you through the whole process of working on your mindset and getting started with investing, with trading. It's a more active style of trading on Zoom live with me. So investing in that knowledge, I think, would be the first step.
Excellent. I want to talk a little bit just about kind of money, business. So veer away from talking about the stock market and investing. Yep. And things like that. Actually, one of the things, sorry, before we jump away from that, we're having lots of comments, and let me just share those with you while we have them. It seems that we have a lot of guys listening to us today on and they're all on YouTube today as well. Fun times. That's great. Hi, everyone. Nice topic. But this one, are the banks in the Gulf region subjected to CRR and SLR norms? Also, are banks allowed to go beyond government securities and into the share and bond market? That's a question for you. I don't know if that is.
Yes, this is a very technical topic. I think it might be better if, Rajat, you can get in touch with me either on Fintastic Females socials or on Trading Mom's socials, and we can talk about this.
Okay, so Rajat, dip in, send her a DM and you can have a further conversation about that. I want to move away from this a little bit and talk about entrepreneurship and money, because I find this really interesting, because seeing the businesses that are successful, seeing our members that are doing really well, seeing our members that scale quickly, seem to have a little bit different mindset or relationship towards money than those that don't. So for example, we'll have two entrepreneurs and one will say, I am going to invest in this software or this technology or these computers, or I'm going to take this course, how to learn how to do something. I'm not going to pay myself right now. I'm going to do all of that investment because I want to build my business. And then we'll have another entrepreneur that will say, I'm holding on to all of my money. I'm not spending anything. Or the money that I make that comes into the business, I'm paying myself because I need the money. And it's interesting because I see, you know, we have 1,000 members, right? So I see very up close businesses and I see which ones are doing really well and which ones are maybe struggling. And I see that there's a big difference. And sometimes I feel that people don't believe me when I talk about how important it is to make that investment in your business. And I would really love to hear your reflection, because I think sometimes, you know, I can kind of be like a mom when I'm talking to people and they're like, you know, because everybody knows me and they're like, yeah, okay, yeah, 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 of course you'd say that. No, I'm telling you, I've done this for 20 years. You know, you're going to grow faster if you make that investment and you maybe pay yourself less for a certain amount of time, but then realize that you're slowing down in a way to speed up. So I would love to hear your perspective and if you agree with me on that.
Yes, very much so. And I feel like I've been on both ends of the spectrum, at least mindset-wise. I'm on the way to scale up with where I am right now. But mindset-wise, I very much feel both sides. So I'll share my insights and I'm sure you can weigh in on what your thoughts are. I think a lot of us as entrepreneurs, some of us, I should say, begin from having an assigned pot of capital that we've put towards the business. And some of us who are in the former category that you mentioned kind of see that pot as a fixed pot. So any investments, and I was there in this mindset as well, so I can speak from firsthand experience, any investments that are coming up are kind of seen just as a simple outflow. So you see, let's say I've assigned 100,000 dirhams to starting a new venture. And if this coaching or this membership is going to cost 2,000 dirhams, 5,000 dirhams, that's 100,000 minus 5,000. But a lot of times the big missing piece in this is, what is this investment going to bring back to me? It's not just a simple subtraction exercise. It's also a small subtraction, but hopefully a big addition in future. And it needs to be, that investment needs to be made with that intention. And that's the big change that I've seen in myself over the years, because I used to be really clingy to that pot as well. And not that it made any difference to the amount that I ended up with, not that it made any difference to the pot itself. It just ended up making me feel like I was always struggling, like there was never enough. And it is just, it's a very simple, and maybe it sounds cliche, but we need to loosen the strings a little more and have more faith in ourselves for making the right decision and bringing the right amount of money back. Since we're calling it an investment, I mean, what's a bigger investment than yourself in the end? So if you see yourself as valuable enough, if you see the skills you want to acquire as valuable enough, then any investment, any good investment, going back to finance, should give you a return. So I don't believe that that is the right mindset to have. The faster entrepreneurs can move away from that very like assigned pot needs to be saved and kept secure mentality, the faster they'll be able to grow, I think.
And I've seen that too, that when you kind of let go of that, and it can feel hard, and we all have like our money, you know, our money stories and things that have happened to enable us to be that certain way with money, right? But I guess it's also as an adult owning a business that we also need to make sure too that we are thinking about what's best for the business and what's best for the future. And I find that if I am constantly not spending, that it holds the business back. I'll get there, but it might take me twice as long, or it might take me three times as long. So if you plug in all of those numbers, and that's how I see it, that I'll get there, but it will take me longer. But if I pay the money now up front, it will help me get there faster, and I'll be able to make more money, so it closes that gap.
Yeah, exactly. And time is money, number one. And please share your experience with this, Jen. But when I'm trying to be pretty sensible in kind of the conventional way, or if I'm trying to be very conscious of every penny that I spend. In the end, my savings are no better. I find there's a way of outflow inviting itself into my life. My tires would puncture on the last day of the month, or like the water filter would stop working. There will be a way for your savings to drain out. So instead, if you could just start with a better mindset, this is where a lot of the mindset work comes in as well. And some people ask us, oh, investments or finance and mindset, they're two other like opposite sides of the spectrum. They're not, they really go together. Yeah. And that's what entrepreneurs, like you said, who scale up really well are able to master, where it doesn't daunt them. It doesn't feel overwhelming for them to take the big decisions and save on that time.
Yeah, well, and that's it, you know, that you can do it. And I've done it both ways, right? You know, I've done it where I've done it slower and I've been very conservative. And then I've done it where I've just splashed the cash and been like, let's just make it happen. And what I've found, at least for me, is that I would rather not pay myself a salary for a certain amount of time and take that money and reinvest it and spend it on either the training or the resources or extra people or extra technology to help the business grow faster so that I can get there faster and pay myself the salary that I want to pay myself.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And being a part of a community for me comes in this initial investment as well, because what's the price that you can put on being able to type up a question, any question that comes to mind, whether it's courier suppliers to being able to sell my business, which is my success story with Female Fusion. So, I mean, in that whole wide spectrum, there's no price or value that you can put to being in a meaningful community. So for me, that comes
as a... Well, we haven't put a price on it right now.
Well, you can.
1,700 dirhams a year or 370 dirhams a month for now. Because do you know the other thing as well that, and this is talking about money mindset as well. And I was in Abu Dhabi this morning and I was speaking to some of our members about this, that we're putting up the price of our membership. And some people were like, oh, why are you doing that? And what we offer and what we give members is probably worth 10 times what people are paying for it. And so there comes a time, you know, you run a business, you have, you know, you see, I have this office behind me and other rooms here, we have like team working, that you have costs that you have for a business. And so this is one thing as well that we have gotten to a point where we realize the price needs to go up. You need to, and you need to stand in that power for you as a business owner and know that what you're charging is a great deal. The value that you're delivering is great and you need to charge more for it. So our price is doubling. So anybody, if you want to get in now because it's going to be more expensive next time around.
Yeah, and I vouch for the value that you provide. So just a little aside on that, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, I wish it was something like this when I had my business too, that it's so nice, as you said, to be able to meet people, to ask those questions, to have those connections. If you have a problem, to have that conversation with people that are willing to help you as well.
Yeah, very much. Sometimes entrepreneurship feels really lonely, especially if you're used to working in teams. It's probably similar for investors or traders who do this full time as well. So being a part of a community that's talking about the same things, that's going through the same motions, for me, it has been priceless.
Amazing. And if somebody wants to appear on your podcast, how do they get to be on your podcast? What sort of people are you looking to interview?
Yes, that's a very interesting question and very relevant question as well, because we've only just started having guests. We've had two guests up till now. And that's something that we really want to, we're quite excited to bring in more of on the podcast. You can simply just reach out to us on our social media, which is Fintastic Females on Instagram. It's Fintastic with FI for finance, just to be super clear. To be honest, one of the reasons I probably missed mentioning at the beginning of our chat is also to bring a lot of relevant conversations around finance in this region. I feel like there's a gap where you don't really hear so much about, let's say, women who've done well in the finance sector, people who work in banking. Most people don't understand what banking careers are. We've recently, the guests that we've had, one was a family law expert, and she was telling us about what that means in terms of clarity on money, clarity on documentation, etc., in a marriage, in a family, in a relationship. And the recent guests that we've had in our current episode and the episode going out this Friday is an expert on cryptocurrency. So what I mean to say is any person who's had a relationship, which is literally anyone, is welcome to get in touch with us. We would love to have people who are, first, we would love to have people who are either working in finance or in business that we can speak to about their stories and then later kind of broaden our horizons.
Amazing. And I'm just putting up a few banners as well. So if people want to see the podcast or if they want to find you. So the best way to pitch to you, is it for them to send you an email?
Yes, email or social media message, either get to us directly. So we're quite active on both.
Amazing. So we've got your email and we have TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. I love that when I see it, that somebody's got all of the same handles.
Yeah. I have a bit of an OCD about this, maybe more so than I should. But yeah, it's very nice and neat.
It's also important too, because people can remember, right? You know, if you've got three different names, it's hard for people to remember. So it means that you might not have people following you everywhere. I'm going to share as well. So you've got your podcast through Anchor, and all they need to do is go into anchor.fm and look for Fintastic Females there. While we're looking at that, I have a question for you. If somebody was like maybe considering, because our doors are open to the Fusion Circle until tomorrow night, if somebody was considering joining, what would you say to them? Because I always feel like I can talk about it forever, but people are like, yeah, of course you're going to say that, Jen. What would you say like about your experience?
I mean, it's literally, today is, I posted on social media, but it's quite surreal to come on your platform and talk about my business, because it's the first and the only membership I think I've carried on with through my four and a half years of entrepreneurship. And I will carry on. I don't plan to ever leave this forum, leave this community. It's literally been my resource and one-stop shop for everything I've wanted, whether it's from a social perspective of meeting other entrepreneurs or reaching out for any resources. There was a time at the beginning of my journey where I did get introduced into another community. And, you know, with little things like introduction to courier suppliers, introduction to packaging suppliers, which is a lot of what I was looking at that time, I knew the suppliers before this community that built itself up on sharing referrals was able to share with me. So, and they were like, where do you know this from? And I was like, yeah, there's a secret group that I'm a part of. It's not so secret, but but it's kind of been my superpower. And it's a resource that I dip into continuously. So also, I mentioned this briefly before, but I owe selling my previous business to the Female Fusion Network as well, which is a big success story for me, especially as a small business. It is a big deal to be able to do that.
Go through a broker, it can be quite expensive as well. So even that just saves you so much money.
Yeah, even valuation, reaching out to the right people. As a small business, you don't know where to start. So the automatic, like the default power of connecting to, how many people are we on the group now? 14,000 on the bigger group?
No, 23,000.
23,000. I haven't checked the numbers in a long time.
So maybe when I was looking. All of our social channels were at about 40,000 now.
So right. Maybe when I was looking at pitching the business, it was 14. So that's the number that stuck with me. But even then, it's got so much power to, where are you going to find 14,000 people to speak to be able to kind of put your things in front of? So.
I'm going to say this because I want other members to know this if they're watching, but you know that because you're in the Fusion Circle, you get free posts in the large group of 23,000, right? So you can, if you want to promote your business, because we charge companies to do that, it's 5,000 dirhams a post, and I'll get to do it for free.
Then the Stripe discount, apart from the networking events, I mean, there's only...
I have a question for you. How much did you save? We're talking about money. How much did you save on Stripe? I'm curious because we did quite well.
I will need to check, actually. I've only been able to get on that since I renewed my license this past year. So I will need to check on the number, but it's definitely in the four to five figure mark.
So we say
around 10,000 dirhams plus is what I would say right now.
Yeah, because we so the Stripe deal, for anybody who's wondering, is that all of our members don't pay fees on the first 100,000 dirhams that goes through your Stripe account. So that's like the charges that you have, excluding MasterCard and Visa charges. And we saved, when we did it, Kalyani, 4,500 dirhams, like back in our pockets, like right there. And I thought, how fabulous is that? Like what, pays your membership right there.
Yeah, exactly.
and you get 45% off of Aramex if you need a courier as well.
Yes. And just the masterclasses, the networking events, there's a lot of positive things that you just benefit from. Sorry, just losing my words.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But do you know what I think is lovely? Is it is just the nicest group of women. Like you walk in a room and just everybody is so cool. You know, and I know that it doesn't matter, like, whether you go, like, for a morning event or an evening event or a lunch event, even if, like, they're not in the same industry as you, just the nicest, kindest, supportive people, women. Yeah. People go and say, oh, women, they're mean to each other, they're not nice. And I'm like, you haven't seen our women.
Yeah, I have to say that is true.
Yeah. So tell me, so what is next for you? What's next with the podcast? What are the plans?
So for the podcast, we would like to kind of reach a wider audience, and we're looking at avenues like today, even reaching out to some publications or aligned collaborations on social media to kind of reach a wider audience. We really enjoy the work that we've done over the last 6 months, and it would only kind of add to it if we've got that response coming in as well. And like I said, we've been getting guests on the podcast, which has been super exciting because it feels like we get to learn as well while we're having a nice chat. So that's been super enjoyable. With Trading Mum, the big launch of Passive Income Masterclass has kept me busy personally. It's starting today and it's going to run every month up until May.
And you're doing that live, right? So are you doing that live?
That is live on Zoom. Yeah. Okay. You can check those details on Trading Mum. That's my social media handle. And I think between all of that, we're kind of pretty full on right now. Yeah, that's it. With Fintastic Females as well, we're planning a class which was formerly called Money Makeover, but we're planning on making it into smaller chunks, which are more accessible, I suppose, for more people. So getting over the fear of spending money, getting more money clarity, and just kind of doing these micro topics instead of having a longer class, which was the earlier plan. And that's a work in progress.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm putting up here just your details for people if they want to follow you, and we would love it for them to follow you across your social, reach out to you if anybody wants to appear on your podcast. And there's the link to the podcast as well. And I wanted to say, I absolutely love the artwork of the cover that you've done for your podcast. It's really nice.
Thank you very much. It's easy to find amongst all the podcasts, right?
Yeah, it's really good. And you've done about 30 episodes now as well, haven't you?
Yes, so we're coming up to 25. So we've done one a week since September.
And how does that feel, doing one a week? Do you batch record all of them?
No, we do one nearly every week, or we do maybe two maximum. It just keeps us fresh, keeps the conversation fresh. And the interesting thing is that Rupali and I would have these conversations anyway as friends. So this is just bringing the same conversation to a wider group of people. So it feels very organic, very natural. And we're kind of patting ourselves on the back for the consistency, because while we've got my business and her job, we've kind of taken this on as an additional commitment. We're enjoying it very much, but the consistency we're kind of proud of.
And have you seen as well that, and I'm just asking you these questions because I think a lot of our entrepreneurs would be interested in this too, is have you seen that since you have done that and started to be very consistent, that you're seeing an impact on business? Like, are more people finding you for, let's say, for the Trading Mom courses? Do you have more people interested as a result of the podcast now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there is an overlap in general anyway, and I find that both feed off each other. So with Trading Mom, I'm able to kind of direct people to wider finance knowledge, to Fintastic Females, and from Fintastic Females, if people are interested in the more narrow, more specific aspects of stock trading, investments, then I'm able to redirect them to Trading Mom. So 100%, I think there were times where we were talking for Trading Mom, not for Fintastic. There were times, especially over the last summer, where I wasn't able to be so consistent with my content, and you can obviously see a direct impact of that on business. So
it's really interesting, isn't it, that sometimes you might feel like nobody is listening, and especially like when it's just you and you're constantly creating like this, you're like, nobody's going to notice if I take a week off or I take 2 weeks off. And then all of a sudden you notice when you're not visible that actually your revenue goes down.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. And I don't know what platform you use for your courses, but I'm sure you know that within Female Fusion, we're built on Kajabi, and we're pretty big Kajabi advocates over here in Female Fusion Towers. And Kajabi did they did some research last year, and they worked out that businesses that have a podcast sell 24% more. And when I heard that figure, I was like, what?
That's a nice
24% is a lot. And this was across, like, they looked at all of their creators on the Kajabi platform, and they worked out that those with the podcast sold more.
Wow, that's really good to know, actually. We didn't know this number. I think it's also a muscle that you practice, right? So if you practice putting yourself out there in whatever way, whether it's a YouTube video, it's a regular newsletter, it's regular social media content or a podcast, or coming up on forums like this, it's just a muscle that you practice and you only get better. I find when I'm posting regular content, I get more ideas to post. Same with the podcast as well. The conversation, the ideas just become smoother, and there's a lot of value to gain from that.
Yeah. And it is like, especially if you are doing something like selling your knowledge, if you're selling your knowledge like you are, you need to be out there whether you like it or not. And I have some of our members say to me, well, I don't want to show up. I don't like showing up online. I'm just going to put it out to the world and sell it. And I keep saying, people, they need to know, like, and trust you. And if they don't know, like, or trust you, it's going to be harder for you to ask for that sale.
Yes. I mean, I used to be that person as well, but there's only so much. I feel like there's only so much that you can hide behind a beautiful design or great knowledge. And it's almost like showing up is a way of connecting with your business, you know, because all of us entrepreneurs can maybe stay busy behind our computer screens for days without any socializing, without realizing that we even need to go out, right? Everything is right here on a laptop. But at some point, you almost start losing the connection with your audience, with your ideal customer, with your community.
Yes.
Fine, even leave the community. But when that starts happening and you almost don't know what your ideal customer is thinking, behaving like, looks like, then you're kind of just throwing arrows in the dark, or you're just hoping for the best. And
And, you know, I think as well, like, for people who are worried about showing up or feel uncomfortable with showing up, is that you just need to get into the habit of doing it, right? Because once you get into the habit of doing it, you start to care less and less. I don't know if you find this, like, I even now, sometimes if I'll be thinking something or want to share a message, I could be walking out of the gym, and I've done it a few times on the Female Fusion channels where I'm like, I've got this great idea and I'm going to share it with you. And a couple of years ago, I never would have done that, because I would have been like, I have to do my hair, I have to do my makeup, I need to be dressed properly. And the other day I went online and I was talking about consistency, actually, because I'm pushing really hard. I set myself a big goal that I want to get really fit before I turn 49. I've got, I think, 11 days left. Not much longer. but I've been really consistent, and it's like, I've been talking about that, about how even when, you know, you feel like it's not working, or you feel like what you're doing isn't working, it's now not the time to give up, that you have to keep pushing through and know that with consistency, whether it's, you know, trying to get fit in the gym, or it's being consistent with your podcast or with blogging or live streaming or whatever it is, that people notice it. And sometimes if you're not consistent, like if you don't send out that email every week, people notice it.
And yeah, very much. Yeah, it impacts your credibility, how much people are able to rely on you as a business. But I think I did a content piece late last year about how, despite all the technical knowledge, my discipline with my exercise and diet at the time was actually the biggest contributor to my success as a trader. And they're totally unrelated, but what it actually does is I've already practiced controlling my mind, thoughts, emotions. And in the end, it all comes down to that, right? Whether it's entrepreneurship, trading, being in a corporate job, you will have to deal with being in a team, being with a boss, the office politics, and how you're able to resolve it is what comes down to consistency, discipline, being able to kind of manage your own thoughts, being grounded. So once again, mindset comes into it.
Mindset, I love it. Mindset is so powerful for so many things in our lives. What a fun conversation. I really enjoyed this today. We'll have to do another one. Thank you so much. I'm going to pop your email up one last time for anybody who wants to reach out to Kalyani, or I'm sure you're going to get lots of people DMing you or messaging you to.
Thank you. I'd be happy to answer. We'd love to have you on our podcast sometime as well, Jen. We'll work out the timing.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I love podcasts, as you know.
Perfect. We do too.
I'm all about the podcast now.
Yes.
good stuff. Well, thank you so much for your time and such a beautiful conversation today. And I encourage everybody to reach out to you if they have any more questions. And best of luck on the course, which starts next week, you said, right?
Today. It starts today.
Oh, today. Okay, yes. Best of luck with starting
that. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And if I can say in return, if anyone's on the fence about joining Female Fusion, please, it's a no-brainer. Just get in while you can and be in this amazing energy of the community.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
To everybody, thank you for taking part. Thank you for your lovely comments and questions. And have a wonderful day, everybody. And until the next edition of Fusion Insights, we'll see you then. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.